Good afternoon, everyone. My name is Jeff, and welcome back to another episode of Lean In with Jeff. I'm your host, Jeff, and I'm thrilled to have you all with me for another thoughtful, warm afternoon. Thanks for listening in. It's a breezy kind of day today in Vancouver. Clouds are drifting a bit, and the summer is here. And it has been quite warm, quite hot within the past couple days, maybe weeks, but it seems like we're going to be getting some sun soon. So I guess that's a great way to kind of cool off from all those hot days. If you're at home, you know, just relaxing, listening in, I hope you are having a wonderful afternoon. You know, just relaxing, you know, taking the weather in. And I do know that summer school is still in session, so I hope you guys are, whoever is participating in summer courses, I hope that's going well for you as well. August has this way of reminding us that, you know, summer is here, and the warmth and nice, enjoyable times are coming in. So I hope you guys are able to enjoy this month. We are officially under a month until the fall semester begins. So that's really crazy because I can remember the summer just, you know, beginning. It's May or the end of April when we finished up final exams. And now we're almost to the end. We have maybe 3 weeks left and we are back into the fall semester. But there's still time to, I mean, there's always time, but especially during summer, there's, I hope that everyone has the time to really just relax, take the vacations that you wanted to take, spend the time that you want with your friends and family, and get ready for another wonderful, exciting, busy year. All right, so today's show is going to be quite smooth. Pouring a little bit of heart, humor, and harmony. We'll begin with a review of a film that toes the line between comedy and melancholy, Alexander Payne's Sideways, which was released in 2004. Very amazing rom-com. I recently saw it maybe a couple weeks ago. I loved it. It was so enjoyable. Very, very quiet and calm, but at the same time, the comedy was wielded in very nicely as well. So after that, we'll carry on with our music spotlight, continuing to listen to the soulful, genre-defying sounds of Sebastian Gaskin, diving deeper into his album Love Child, and we'll finally close things off with some curious, surprising fun facts about wine, because Sideways wouldn't be complete without it. But before we get into all of that, let's get through the ads, PSAs, show promos, and the station ID. So don't go anywhere, and I'll see you guys in a couple minutes. So here we go.
You're listening to CITR 101.9. Broadcasting from UBC's Point Grey campus, located on the traditional, unceded Coast Salish territory of the Hunkaminam-speaking Musqueam people.
Are you ready to transform your music career? Sam Chimes, international performer with over 1,000 shows across four continents, presents Chimes Academy's Sonic Elevation Program.
Learn live looping, music production, DJing, and stage work in our exclusive 8-week intensive. Only 16 spots available.
Our next intake starts June 7th. Top students, Shadow Sam, and Real DJ Gigs, supported by Creative BC.
Ready to elevate your sound? Visit samchimes.com/academy and book your free consultation today.
Chimes Academy. Create and perform music holistically.
Pleasant Day Festival is here. Spanning Main Street from 16th to King Edward Ave, this one-day street festival brings the neighborhood together with live music, delicious food, interactive activities, and much more. All brought to you by Mount Pleasant Business Improvement Area. Pleasant Day Festival is a vibrant celebration of the community, culture, and businesses that make Mount Pleasant unique. On Saturday, August 9th, from 12 to 8 p.m. on Main Street, 16th to King Edward Ave, you can see 27 musical performances ranging from actors to Haley Blaze, Indigenous Protocol, The Houseplants, and many more. For more information, check out PleasantDayFest.com. We look forward to seeing you on Main Street on August 9th.
There are some people that aren't into all the words. There are some people that would have you not use certain words.
Opinions expressed are solely those of the presenter and may not reflect the views of CITR Radio or the University of British Columbia.
Bad words.
Shit, piss, fuck, cock, cocksucker, motherfucker, and tits. Wow.
This program may contain language that some listeners find offensive. Listener discretion is advised.
Tits doesn't even belong on the list, you know?
Jake, you're back!
Shut your face! I came back for the music.
You either you've been troubled, you've been broke, you've been hungry, no job, no money. The one you love has deserted you. That makes you blue.
Got the blues? Just want to hear some blues? Tune in every Saturday afternoon from 3 to 5 for Code Blue, right here on CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver, www.citr.ca. Code Blue.
Here's how he feels about it. Blues ain't nothing but a man, good man feeling bad, no how. That's all that is.
Welcome back to Lean In with Jeff. For those of you who have just joined in, welcome. I hope you guys are having a great afternoon. It is a bit chilly today. I actually threw on my first hoodie of the summer, which is quite exciting. But I hope you guys are having a great afternoon. I hope the day is going well. I hope school and work is all going smoothly, as well as vacations and all that fun that you guys are probably having. And like I said, safety is very important as well. So please be safe while you have all that fun. For those of you who are tuning in, thank you all for listening into today's episode. I'm bringing you back with another rom-com review. I love rom-coms, and I think this is a great suggestion, a recommendation for you guys who are also rom-com fans as well. To begin, we'll introduce the rom-com. So the rom-com is called Sideways. It was released in 2004. It takes place in California wine country. And so, as you can imagine, it's very, very beautiful. The scenery and the setting is so beautiful. The drives that the characters make through the county, through the wine, the wineries, and the fields. It really is just so, so beautiful to see. And I think that was one of the highlights of the watch, is just really looking into how beautiful the wineries are. And, you know, I don't even drink wine, but the movie really just wanted me to get more interested in wines and the history of it. And there's just so much detail that's in the creation of wine and the origin of it. That's just so interesting. And although I guess wine isn't the main topic of the movie, it definitely is a very significant, it plays a very significant role into it, because I think there's a lot of connection to the characters' personalities to wine. And so wine is being used as a tool to really give it more deeper understanding of who the characters are, what they're like, And I think that's a very interesting thing to pick up on while you watch the movie as well. So Sideways is a film that lives in a very peaceful yet chaotic environment. And the two, I'd say, is very extreme on both ends. It's very, very peaceful. There's really no, you know, buildings. I mean, it's a winery in a wine country. And so it's just fields with grapes and wine tasting areas, not a lot of people. It's also kind of during in the summertime as well. And so it's nice and hot. You know, the yellow orangey color of the setting is, it's really, really calm overall. But the chaos comes within the characters and their lives and the situations that they're currently in. They're currently battling and trying to overcome. And so the contrast between the two really makes this such an interesting watch. So we'll kind of begin with the characters. So Paul Giamatti, who plays Miles, the main protagonist, is a struggling writer, a wine enthusiast, and recently divorced man who's nursing his wounds under the quiet shade of disappointment. Now, the word disappointment here, I think it relates to many, many aspects that Miles is currently dealing with. One of the main ones is the fact that he is a writer. He is trying to publish his book, and sadly, it's just not working out the way that he wants it to. And there has been multiple attempts to get his work published, and it's just not going as well. Time is going, you know, he's 50, I think. So he just really wants to make something out of his writing and his work. But it seems like it's just not working in his favor, towards his favor. And so that's just been a really, really tough thing to swallow for him. And it's just been consuming his life. And, you know, he's just not able to move forward or just be happy. It's just the only thing that he's been thinking about that is actually quite sad to see. And one of the flaws that he has is the fact that he's just not able to move forward and be happy and find happiness with his life because of this failing, this thing where it's just not working out the way that he wants it to. And then I mentioned his relationship. You know, he is divorced. So not only did he is kind of failing with his career and he's not really doing well, at least moving in the path that he anticipated he wanted to go. He also didn't really successfully work out his marriage as well. And so there's so many aspects in his life where it's just not going the way that he wants it to go. And so this disappointment just continues to rise. There's a lot of self-loathing that goes on, unhappiness, negativity. And then now we get introduced to his best friend, Jack, who's played by Thomas Hayden Church. He is an actor whose glory days are behind him, now on the cusp of marriage, but eager for one last bachelor fling. So there's a very, you know, I think now that I mention it, there's a lot of deep contrast and just so much of an extreme end to the characters and the situations that they're both in. Miles, very, very intellectual. He's very attentive to detail. He's a romantic at heart. He's very good with his words. I mean, he is a writer, and so, but he also has a lot of wounds and sorrow that he carries around with him, which is evident with his behavior, and you can really see it from his eyes and the way that he kind of carries himself throughout the entire movie. And then we have Jack, who is very careless. He doesn't really have that much of a worry, I'd say. At least that's kind of how he comes out as from the beginning, is that he just wants to get through one last bachelor party where he can just run wild with women and just, you know, not really thinking about anything else. So they're both, I mean, Jack doesn't even know much about one. He doesn't seem to have any hobby or particular interest that really takes up a lot of his time and energy. It's more so his main goal is just to make the most out of this bachelor fling, which is just to get with as many women, or just to get with a woman. And that's kind of his goal. So the movie continues on, where they set off on a road trip through California wine country, ostensibly to relax, bond, and taste Pinot Noir, which is Miles' favorite type of wine, or I think it's a grape. But of course, nothing is ever that simple. And so, setting against the rolling hills of Santa Barbara County, the film feels like a love letter to stillness. So the drives through sun-dappled vineyards, the rustling of grapevines in early evening light, and the gentle rhythm of conversations over Merlot or Pinot, the setting works like a balm for the characters. You know, even as their lives teeter on the edge of crisis, the visuals don't seem to scream for attention, but they rather whisper, and that's kind of the vibe that you get, is it's just so quiet, but it's not a haunting silence. It's very relaxing. It encourages reflection. It encourages a pause. And I think that really works well with all the chaos that's going around with the characters. You know, the countryside is open, but at the same time, it's never empty. And like I said, this again encourages a space for reflection. For Miles, that scenery becomes a kind of silent therapist. You know, Miles, he himself is actually seeing an actual therapist in the movie. But I think the therapy really relies on the setting and his trip to the wineries with his friend. And it forces him to sit with his shame, his longing, and his buried ambition with his book and his works. So Giamatti's portrayal of Miles is quietly devastating. You know, he's neurotic, he's self-loathing, he's very intellectual, but he's very paralyzed by the fear that his novel, the one he's labored over for years, I think it was 3 years where he continued to try and get it in, but it just didn't work out, will ever see the light of day. And it haunts him, you know, it's really taking up most of his attention. He just can't get himself to stop worrying, you know, second-guessing his abilities and his talents. And I think this is such a relatable and such an important thing that he shows, is that sometimes we know deep in our heart that we are talented and we have a gift and we're good at something, but at the same time, we need some sort of confirmation that's given to us to reboost that affirmed belief of, you know, having that sort of talent and ability to practice whatever gift that we're given or we've practiced on. But for Miles, that confirmation comes from the publication of his work. And that will actually reaffirm his status of being a writer and being a successful writer, but it's just not happening. And so it's getting more and more difficult for Miles to believe in himself, to believe that he is a true writer, believe that he is worth something, believe that he has something to contribute to society and to the world of writing and art and literature. It's really, really tough. And to see that, it's quite painful. And so as we kind of move through the scenes and the way that the movie progresses, the pain becomes unbearable for Miles to handle. Because not only is the pain coming from the fact that he can't publish his own work, but it's coming from, you know, relationships, who he is as a person, how this constant fear that he's being chased continuously by is directly translating to the relationships that he ought to build, but he just can't. And how he's kind of struggling and working his way up to change and stepping forward. He's not really stepping. I mean, he's just standing still almost. But if you stand still for too long, you're kind of, you know, walking backwards. And so he's just continuously trying to work his way forward with his life and trying to find meaning. Like I said, he's a wine enthusiast, and there's something raw in the way that he sniffs every glass of wine, like he's trying to decode his own soul and aroma. And this is where the connection with wine comes in with his character as well. You know, he's very, very attentive to detail with wine, the way that he smells, the way how long it's been, you know, fermented. Or laid the, you know, the age of wine. It's really, really interesting to see how much care and attention that he gives to wine. It's a very beautiful thing to see as well. And that kind of shows how he's the kind of man who knows the subtle differences between, you know, vintages and different details and the types of wines, but can't really figure out how to say what he needs to people to care about him. You know, he's very difficult with his words, with, you know, kind of what he wants. He's very silenced a lot of the time. He's not open, I guess, with his emotions and his wants and needs, although you can kind of see it throughout the movie. You know, he's quite open with it with Jack, you know, about his failures and his wants and his worries. But in the bigger picture, he's not really open with himself. And he knows that, and he feels a tremendous amount of pain for the fact that he can't really do anything about it. Now, going on to Jack, on the other hand, is the foil. He's very charismatic, but he's very impulsive, and he rides the fumes of his fading charm. He doesn't want to reflect, but rather wants to indulge. Indulge in the moment, indulge in the presence, and he doesn't have a care in the world with the consequences. But the problem here is that consequences will come, and when it does, he would be the one to face it. So his idea of closure is distraction. You know, he's not evil per se, but just kind of empty. And it's that emptiness that drives him to end up having an affair, lying to the woman that he's going to marry, and convince himself it's all harmless. And although Jack is seen to be very reckless and doesn't have a care in the world, that's all kind of just for shows. Jack, too, has a lot of issues, and I think that stems from the relationship that he has with his soon-to-be wife. You know, it seems like he doesn't really have the passion or the love that he wants. And quite frankly, it doesn't seem like they're both that of a compatible couple. You know, Jack is really into that adventurous you know, spontaneous lifestyle, whereas the woman he's with doesn't seem like she matches that up to par. And I'm sure it's the same way with her as well. You know, there are some characteristics that Jack just doesn't work in favor with being compatible with her. And so it's kind of all these mixed emotions and these contradictions that really make it difficult for Jack to kind of settle in. And at the same time, he's very immature as well, which kind of shows the hesitation that he shows with marrying and how he ends up. I mean, he claims that he might have fallen in love with the woman that he has an affair with, but later ends up marrying the woman that he was supposed to marry. So it's very, very complex. And so this reiterates the complexities of human relationships. And I think that's kind of what makes this such a real, almost relatable film as well. So moving to the dynamic, you know, between Jack and Miles is very, very fascinating because, like I said, it's so believable. You know, they portray such a different type of personality within each other. And Jack representing, you know, the easy road, a life lived at surface level, while Miles is drowning in depth he can't quite navigate. But then here comes Maya, who is played by Virginia Madsen. And then the film suddenly softens. You know, when they meet Maya, Maya is very thoughtful. She's observant and kind in a way that unsettles Miles. And her knowledge, she has a lot of knowledge with wine. And it isn't just technical. It's very intuitive as well. And she really catches Miles' attention, and that's kind of where everything kind of shifts, is that Miles kind of begins to light up a little bit more. But like I said, he's not very open. And so Jack, although he's not the best type of person, considering he did have an affair, he really does try to encourage Miles a lot. And that's also another thing that I really love about the film, is how the secondary characters influence and help the protagonist. So Jack, I'd say he's quite a good friend, you know, in many ways as well, is that he really tries to implement and reaffirm confidence to Miles and his ability as a writer. He continues to say to him, who cares if the publications don't publish your work? Publish it yourself. You need to get your work out there. You can do it. All those encouraging statements are given constantly to Miles. And it's very beautiful to see, because not everybody can give those really raw remarks of encouragement and, you know, confidence and reaffirmation. But at the same time, because they're so close, Miles gets to say things that are unpleasant, but a necessity to hear, especially for Miles' character. You know, Miles really peels off the flaws and just reveals it raw to Miles, right up to his face. You know, what he is like, you know, the very negative attitude that he has towards life and just overall about himself. And he continues to tell Miles that he should not have that and he should not continue with that sort of attitude. And to see that, it's very nice to see. And that's kind of what friendship is, what friendship is. It's that you both are building a relationship that is ultimately growing together, and through that you're growing together as individual people, and you're both influenced by each other. And if there's a lot of good influence, there will be a lot of good growth, and if there's bad, there's going to be some bad. And so it's very interesting to see. And Maya as well is really, really just such a great influence to Miles, because First of all, she shares the same interest with wine, and so she gets to share her feelings and her, you know, thoughts about wine with Miles, and that's kind of the opening way of both of them to open up with each other, because Maya, on the other hand as well, is also divorced. And so they kind of share a very similar pain as well. So moving on to some scenes that were really memorable for me. There's this one scene, the quiet heart of the film, that always gets me. It's the moment where Maya and Miles are sitting together on the porch after they had a wonderful night of drinking wine and having dinner with, you know, both Jack and the woman that he ends up having an affair with, which, you know, if you just look at the relationship on the surface level that Jack and Stephanie, who's played by Sandra Oh, has together, and the love and the passion that they share, it's really beautiful. You know, you can't really deny that. But like I said, there's a lot of complexities that lie within it that really makes it really hard to just look at this black and white. And so going back to the scene, Maya and Miles are on the porch late at night. They're each holding up a glass of wine. The air is very still. The mood is hushed, almost sacred. And Miles, fumbling for connection, asks her why she loves wine. You know, where did she gain this interest from? And Maya gives this answer that is just luminous. You know, she begins to really open up about what it is that wine intrigues her. And this is where the perfect mixture of, you know, a little bit of comedy comes in, is that she opens up with how she first got into wine by her ex-husband. And the more that she learned about wine, the more that she realized her ex-husband was just fake. And then she opens up about how wine makes her think about certain things. She says that she likes the way that wine makes her think about life and the wine itself, you know, how it was created, who the people were, you know, imagining how the people that made this wine that I'm drinking right now at this moment might be dead maybe, and how much hard work it must have taken to create this beautiful, tasty bottle of wine, and how when she opens up a bottle of wine, it's just beautiful, because every single sip that you take, it's a different taste. And to be able to appreciate that, that's the beauty of wine. And it's just a cellular, you know, it's just a bottle that's been lying in a cellular for years. It feels like she's tasting a moment in time. And then you get to see the detail that she has and the thoughts that she goes through with wine. And it's kind of, you know, a similarity that Miles picks up on as well. So that's kind of where we see Miles and Maya kind of forming this connection with this commonality of interest with wine. Now, there's another scene, this is more tailored towards comedy, that I really enjoy, is when Miles learns that his ex-wife, Victoria, is not only coming to Jack's wedding, but bringing her new husband with her. And up until this point, Miles has been emotionally fragile, sure, but this sends him over the edge. So he finds out this information through Jack. And this was right when Jack purchased a couple bottles of wine that Stephanie was working in. And they end up going to the place that Jack and Victoria, his ex-wife, used to go to when they came to the winery. And that's when the information unfolds. And when that happens, you know, he kind of breaks character almost. But before we get into what exactly he did, let's get into one of the songs that I'm going to be turning on for you guys today. It's a continuation of the album Love Child by the artist Sebastian Gaskin. And so here's the song Brown Man. I hope you guys enjoy. I'll see you guys in a couple minutes.
I am a brown man, my skin in white. They could pull me from the wreckage and still shoot me in the light. I'm not an animal, I'm not a savage. I'm just a human being who needs to heal from heartache and the sadness. I am a brown man. Oh. TV, I don't wanna see it. They play it on repeat. It's just like the ending of the season. The castle is burning. The people are angry. The world is coming to an end, but still I see everybody laughing. Just a human being who needs to heal from the heartache and the sadness. I am a red man.
That was Brown Man. The next song I have for you guys is called I Don't Want to Feel Anymore. So here we go.
I'm so sorry, I haven't quite been myself. I know you're worried, think I might need some help. Most nights I'd rather be somewhere outside my mind. In a field or on a train, somewhere outside of time. I don't wanna feel. Thank you.
summer's end. Give back all the land, wind and sand, mother, father, friend. I've been way too gone for too long. I just need a hand. Can't relate myself, hate myself, cause I don't wanna.
That was I Don't Want to Feel Anymore. The last song I have for you guys is called Cherie Amour, so here we go.
Never.
That was Sherry Amour by Sebastian Gaskin. Now, for those of you who have been just curious on what Miles did, he eventually pulled out a bottle of wine that Jack purchased and began running with it, drinking it repulsively. And so he just would just chug that big bottle of wine, running into the fields and just, you know, going at it, because he just couldn't handle the fact that his ex-wife is not only coming to the wedding, but is coming with a man. And so he just continues to drinking wine and just running off like a child in this tantrum that he's just having. And this kind of really shows that Miles is just not very good with kind of dealing with the pain and the emotions that he has. And so not only is this evident here, but there's another moment where he gets a call, or he actually ends up calling, I think, the publishers to ask, what happened with my book? And they say, we weren't able to publish it. And then he goes to the winery and he asks, you know, the person that's working there, who is giving people tastings for the wine, to just give him a whole glass. And when he is refused to receive that, he ends up picking up a full spit bucket, which is basically a container used for dumping and spitting out samples, and just pours it all over his face. And it's kind of disgusting, but that's kind of the path that he chooses. And I think what makes this so memorable isn't just how comically gross it is, it's how much it says about heartbreak, ego, and how we can behave when the world moves on without us. And Miles, who prides himself as, you know, knowing wine and having a lot of knowledge on it, and appreciating the subtleties of flavor and aging, ends up pouring a vat of rejected wine sludge down his throat, because in that moment, dignity just doesn't matter anymore. And so he's not tasting anymore, he's just numbing. And so I think this is another thing with wine that's interesting, is that wine is an alcohol. And so it does, you know, make you drunk. But at the same time, it's very beautiful of the fact that it's created with such care and detail. And for Miles, although in the beginning he cared about the beautiful aspect of wine, he ends up, you know, abusing it a little bit. And, you know, the moment of pure childishness with his tantrums and you know, his impulse to self-destruct, it's an indication of how his character is just making such messy and rational decisions from the pain that he's experiencing. And although the audience laughs because it's funny, there's a lot of wince behind the laughter, because we know exactly where that pain is coming from. And that's kind of where the depth comes in. And so it's a very, very interesting film to watch, you know, looking into the pain and how it's dealt with, and later on, how it all kind of unfolds and how it all passes. And how a new beginning is always possible. And although the ending is not a definite ending of who ends up falling in love and they end up having a relationship, which is, again, one of the parts where I really, really love, is that sometimes rom-coms can be rushed with how the protagonists meet each other and fall in love and happily ever after. There's really not much of a happily ever after in this film. We don't really know exactly what is going to be happening next. But what we do kind of get a hint of is that something that may seem so bad and it's just not possible to recover may have a slight chance of happiness and, you know, starting over and a feeling of positive energy. And so that was the review that I wanted to give with the film Sideways. And it's really just more than just a rom-com. It's a mediation on disappointment and redemption, on, you know, the wines we choose and the stories we tell ourselves. And it's also very funny, you know. It's sometimes it's dry and sometimes it's awkward and painfully human in all the right ways. So to end off, let's get through some interesting, fun wine facts, and we'll kind of end off the show for that, from that note. So the first one is from, these are all from the website NapaValley.com. And though you'll commonly hear grapes referred to as a fruit, botanists technically classify grapes as berries, since each fruit forms from a single flower. All right. So the next one is, researchers believe grapes have existed for around 65 million years, and that some of the grape varieties enjoyed by us today are directly descended from these primordial fruit. Very interesting. I mean, it's really bizarre to hear the origin and how long something has been living in this earth that we live in right now, and how many of those are just non-existent now. The next one I have for you guys is, the largest wine producers are Italy, France, Spain, the US, China, and Argentina. In 2022, Italy led with 49.1 million hectoliters, France with 46.6 produced, which is an insane amount. The last one I want to say is that, in general, the color of wine comes from the grapes used. Reds are usually made from purple or blue grapes, while whites are made from greener grapes. Very interesting. All right, so that's it for today's show. I hope you guys enjoyed the rom-com review with some songs and ending off with some wine fun facts as well. I hope you guys get a chance to see this movie. It's really a beautiful movie to watch, not only in terms of the scenery, but just the way that the characters interact with each other and how pain is revealed and how that's being dealt with and how human it really is. So yeah, I hope you guys had an enjoyable listen. Please be safe. Have a lot of fun. Enjoy the weather. And I'll see you guys all next week with another show. Bye-bye, everyone.